So tonight we're going to study from the letter to the first letter to the Thessalonians, and chapter 2. And when we did chapter 1 last time, we studied that, we realized that Paul, essentially for that chapter and also for these for this chapter, he's basically reflecting in his letter to the Thessalonians about how they received the gospel and their example to the congregations around them in throughout all Macedonia and even back to Judea, how their example had reached there in chapter 1. And in this chapter, Paul's now reflecting upon his own conduct while he was there with them, basically how he conducted himself while he was preaching the gospel to them. He wanted to remind them of that. And he also wanted to remind them of the concern that he felt for their condition in this chapter. He describes the manner of his preaching as one that was free of guile and deceit and flattery and covetousness, seeking not the glory of men, but of God. He spoke with boldness despite conflict and was gentle among them, he said, as a nursing mother would be with her own children. His manner of life he described as one of sacrifice, working hard not to be a burden among them, but behaving devoutly, justly, and blamelessly while he worked with them and spread the gospel to them. As a father does his own children, he exhorted them, comforted them, and charged them to walk in a way worthy of God, who was calling them into his own kingdom and glory. Now, as we said, Paul then begins to reflect upon the concern that he had for them in their condition at that time, while he was not able to be there with them. He was thankful for their reception of the gospel as the word of God and not of men. He writes how they had imitated the churches that were in Judea in receiving the word among the persecution that they encountered, even from their own countrymen. And even though it has only been a short time since he has seen them, he's desired to come to them time and again. But Satan had hindered him. His longing to see them is due to his view of them as his hope, his joy, and his crown of rejoicing in the presence of Jesus when he comes again. This chapter, just like the last chapter, essentially has no real doctrine, nothing that we can per se directly apply to our lives as Christians to learn from in that aspect. But there are maybe two objectives that we can achieve with this chapter as we study it. And the first would be to try to realize that Paul's example can be an example of how preachers should conduct themselves among brethren with whom they are laboring. And then also, we can see how, as Christians, we ought to appreciate the thought of seeing each other and helping each other and being with each other at the coming of Jesus, how the coming of Jesus should affect this in us, and how our attitude towards one another should really be affection toward one another and appreciation toward one another and a striving to help one another along this path here in this earth. First, I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. And this, hopefully this lesson won't be too long this afternoon, just a few readings through it. It's only 20 verses, I believe, and then some comment. But verses 1 through 8 first. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And so these first 8 verses, Paul speaks about his manner of preaching. He said that he was thankful that when he came to them and he preached to them, that it wasn't something that was done in vain. And so the gospel preached to our brothers and sisters at Thessalonica was effective. And we're thankful for that, and so was Paul. And it allowed him to allowed him to say that they were able to speak with boldness. And so, even in the midst of the persecution that was happening in Thessalonica, I think he was only able to be there for about 3 Sabbaths. But even though he was only there for such a short time, and that they endured such persecution during that preaching of the gospel, it wasn't in vain. And so he was bold to say that he could continue to preach, and he was glad he was able to preach to them boldly as well. He mentioned that he suffered spiteful treatment at Philippi, and we remember that before they came to Thessalonica, that in Philippi he was imprisoned with Silas, and that God essentially led them out of that prison, and they were able to convert the jailer. But they were treated poorly at Philippi. But even so, they were able to come to Thessalonica, and the preaching was not in vain. He was bold in his God to speak the gospel of God. And he also brought to their remembrance that when they were preaching to them and imparting to them the word of God, it was not something that was done in deceit or something with uncleanness, not something that was full of guile, not something that was pleasing men, not something that had flattering words associated with it, not something that was a cloak for covetousness or some way of gain that the apostles might have, and not something that was seeking glory for men. A lot of times, we can see these characteristics in the preaching of men today. I'll be the first to admit that as a human, I'm fallible and I make mistakes. But there are people who preach the gospel not for the sake of the glory of God and not for the sake of helping men reach heaven, but for the sake of lining their own pockets, or for the sake of raising themselves and giving themselves glory through flattering words. And so Paul reminded them that it was really truly to the glory of God and not seeking the glory of men why they were preaching to them. And then finally in this passage, he talks about their being gentle among them, even as a nursing mother cherishes her children. And so this is an image in our mind that I think we can imagine what Paul was speaking, in that he really felt for the brothers and sisters there in Thessalonica, and he didn't want to leave them, but he was forced to because of the persecution. And I'm sure he didn't want this new fledgling congregation to have to suffer any more persecution because he was there. So that's why he had to leave. But he wanted them to know that he loved them and he cherished them. And so that was the main reason why he said that they were able to impart the gospel to them, and also their own souls, he said, because they were dear unto them. Next, verses 9 through 12. Paul talks about his manner of life while he was there with them. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because you would not be we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You're witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So a few things we want to notice about this is that he talks about how they labored and travailed among them. This could mean a few things. We know from other passages of Scripture that it was Paul's custom that when he went around to preach the gospel, that his living came from his own work. And he was a tent maker by trade, and he actually even had some brothers and sisters in Christ that he would work with at times. But this was one of the things that he did to support himself while he was preaching the gospel. And there was a reason he did this, and that was he didn't feel like it would benefit the gospel if he took money from these new converts and the people he was trying to convert. And so that was his reasoning to try to work with his own hands and support himself in this manner. Other passages say that he had learned to be content in whatever state he found himself in. But also, you know, aside from the physical necessities of life that he worked for himself, he also, of course, labored for the church. And the church was Paul's life. And so as a preacher of the gospel, he wanted to make sure that they realized that he did this for them, for their welfare, for their well-being, and for the glory of God. And that was the only reason why he did this, was so that he could preach Christ unhindered from worldly things. Another thing that we might notice about this passage is that previous we recognized that he talked about him thinking about them as like a nurse, nursing mother, cherishing her children. Well, he sort of goes to the other side this time and he talks about a father. And he says that just as a father does his children, and these are natural things in life, he exhorted them, which means encouraged them. He comforted them, you know, gave them comfort in the persecutions and sorrow that they were going to have come upon them and were having come upon them. But he also charged them in that, of course, that they would keep to the gospel and make sure that they were following the teachings of Christ and the teachings that the apostles had for the church, which, you know, included things as how to offer salvation to other people, how to worship in the proper way. And so these things he also charged them. And he said the reason for this was because he wanted to make sure that they had everything they needed to be able to walk worthy of God, who had called them unto his kingdom and glory. So after putting them into remembrance of his conduct and his preaching there with them, he continues on and he wants to put them in remembrance that he really is concerned for them, because he's not there with them. He's had to write this letter to them. Now, he was able to send Timothy back, and I think Silas too, and Timothy was the one who was able to come back to Paul and bring a report of the brethren at Thessalonica. But he wasn't able to go there himself. So the second half of this chapter is basically him showing his concern for them. So in verses 13 through 16, he talks about how thankful he is of their reception of the word. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. So he said he's thankful that they received his message as it was in truth, the word of God, which works effectively in those who believe it. They welcomed it not as the word of men, but truly as the word of God, the effective and living word of God. He said he was thankful that they became imitators of the churches in Judea, not only in their practice and worship and getting together and having fellowship with each other, but also in their suffering and their persecution from their own countrymen there in Thessalonica. This was just like the churches of God in Judea. They suffered from their own countrymen. The Jews did not want the church to be there. Just as those in Judea received from the Jews persecution, they did as well. The Jews killed the Lord Jesus. They killed their own prophets. They persecuted the apostles and forbade them to speak to the Gentiles. And Paul said that they were piling up their sins and that the wrath was going to come upon them. And so he said that he recognized that our brothers and sisters in Thessalonica were in the same situation, that they were being persecuted and that they were suffering from their own kinsmen as well, and own countrymen. He said that he was concerned for their welfare in verses 17 through 20. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul said he was eager to see them again, but that he was being hindered by Satan. And we don't know for sure what Satan all was doing to hinder Paul from going there. We know that at times Paul had wanted to preach in certain parts of the world, but the Holy Spirit hindered him and had him go in another direction, a direction that maybe he didn't necessarily want to go, but that the Holy Spirit wanted him to go. Well, at this time, it wasn't the Holy Spirit preventing Paul from going back to visit these brethren, but it was Satan. And so, I believe, due to the persecutions, due to the sufferings that were going on at the time, that unfortunately, Paul wasn't able to be with them. And so he wanted them to know that he was concerned for them. And that's why he was writing this letter. He wanted to remind them that the Lord was coming again. And that when he came, he was thankful that he could count them as his joy, as his hope, as his crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that they were his glory and his joy. And I imagine this is probably the sentiment that many preachers have. When they go and they preach a gospel meeting, or they're involved with establishing a congregation, or even when they're involved with helping a congregation continue and to grow, I imagine the sentiment is that my brothers and sisters in Christ at this congregation are my glory and my joy, and that I'm thankful to be able to preach the word to them. And so Paul wanted them to know this, that he was thankful for them, that he was concerned for them, that he knew about the persecution and the suffering that they were going through. But he ends talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll find that this essentially becomes his theme throughout most of the rest of this letter, and even through the second letter to these brethren. This is our lesson tonight. I wonder if there's any comments that any brethren might want to make as a side to this. And if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and stand and sing the song of invitation. If there's one who'd like to come forward, please come at this time.